119. Unity. As I began my journey, I was challenged to defend why I insisted on traveling alone. They called it irresponsible, an avoidance of duty and obligation. Those who said this made an enormous mistake of assumption. From The Way of Kings, Postscript. Odium stepped back.
Dalinar? What is this? You cannot have my pain. Dalinar!
Dalinar forced himself to his feet.
You cannot have my pain! Be sensible. I killed those children,
Dalinar said.
No, it... I burned the people of Rathalos. I was there, influencing you. You cannot have my pain!
Dalinar bellowed, stepping toward Odium. The god frowned. His fused companions shied back, and Amaram raised a hand before his eyes and squinted. Were those glory sprens spinning around Dalinar?
I did kill the people of Rathalos, Dalinar shouted. You might have been there, but I made the choice. I decided.
He stilled.
I killed her. It hurts so much, but I did it. I accept that. You cannot have her. You cannot take her from me again.
Dalinar, Odium said. What do you hope to gain keeping this burden?
Dalinar sneered at the god.
If I pretend I didn't do those things, it means that I can't have grown to become someone else. A failure.
Something stirred inside of Dalinar. A warmth that he had known once before. A warm, calming light.
Unite them.
Journey before destination, Dalinar said. It cannot be a journey if it doesn't have a beginning.
A thunderclap sounded in his mind. Suddenly, awareness poured back into him. The Stormfather, distant, feeling frightened but also surprised.
Dalinar? I will take responsibility for what I have done, Dalinar whispered. If I must fall, I will rise each time a better man.
Renarin ran after Jasnah through the loft wards of the city. People clogged the streets, but she didn't use those. She leaped off buildings, dropping onto rooftops of the tiers below. She ran across each of these, then leaped down to the next street. Renarin struggled to follow, afraid of his weakness, confused by the things he'd seen. He dropped to a rooftop, feeling sudden pain at the fall, though Stormlight healed that. He limped after her until the pain left.
Jasnah!
He called.
Jasnah, I can't keep up!
She stopped at the edge of a rooftop. He reached her and she took his arm.
You can keep up, Renarin. You're a Knight Radiant. I don't think I'm a Radiant, Jasnah. I don't know what I am.
An entire stream of glory spren flew past them, hundreds in a sweeping formation that curved toward the base of the city. Something was glowing down there, a beacon in the dim light of an overcast city.
I know what you are, Jasnah said. You're my cousin. Family, Renarin. Hold my hand. Run with me.
He nodded and she towed him after her, leaping from the rooftop, ignoring the monstrous creature that climbed up nearby. Jasnah seemed focused on only one thing, that light.
Unite them.
Glory spren streamed around Dalinar. Thousands of golden spheres, more spren than he'd ever seen in one place. They swirled around him in a column of golden light. Beyond it, Odium stumbled back.
So small, Dalinar thought. Has he always looked that small?
Syl looked up. Kaladin turned to see what had drawn her attention. She looked past the fused who had landed to attack. She was staring toward the ocean of beads and the trembling lights of souls above it.
Syl? She pulled him tight. Maybe you don't have to save anyone, Kaladin. Maybe it's time for someone to save you.
Unite them.
Dalinar thrust his left hand to the side, plunging it between realms, grabbing hold of the very fabric of existence. The world of minds, the realm of thought. He thrust his right hand to the other side, touching something vast, something that wasn't a place. It was all places in one. He'd seen this before, in the moment when Odium had let him glimpse the spiritual realm. Today, he held it in his hand. The fused scrambled away. Amaram pushed down his faceplate, but that wasn't enough. He stumbled back, arm raised. Only one person remained in place. A young Parsh woman, the one that Dalinar had visited in the visions.
What are you?
She whispered as he stood with arms outstretched, holding to the lands of mind and spirit. He closed his eyes, breathing out, listening to a sudden stillness. And within it, a simple, quiet voice. A woman's voice, so familiar to him.
I forgive you.
Dalinar opened his eyes and knew what the Parsh woman saw in him. Swirling clouds, glowing light, thunder and lightning.
I am unity.
He slammed both hands together and combined three realms into one. Shadesmar exploded with light. Fused screamed as a wind blasted them away, though Kaladin felt nothing. Beads clattered and roared. Kaladin shaded his eyes with his hand. The light faded, leaving a brilliant glowing pillar in the middle of the sea. Beneath it, the beads locked together, turning into a highway of glass. Kaladin blinked, taking Shallan's hand as she helped him to his feet. Adolin had forced himself to sit up, holding his bloodied stomach.
What is it?
Honor's perpendicularity, Syl whispered. A well of power that pierces all three realms.
She looked to Kaladin.
A pathway home.
Taln gripped Ash's hand. Ash looked at his fingers, thick and calloused. Thousands of years could come and pass, and she could lose lifetimes to the dream, but those hands, she'd never forget those hands.
Ash,
he said. She looked up at him, then gasped and raised her fingers to her lips.
How long?
He asked.
Taln.
She gripped his hand in both of hers.
I'm sorry. I'm so, so sorry. How long? They say it's been 4 millennia. I don't always note the passing of time. 4,000 years?
She held his hand tighter.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
He pulled his hand from hers and stood up, walking through the tent. She followed, apologizing again, but what good were words? They'd betrayed him. Taln brushed aside the front drapes and stepped out. He looked up at the city expanding above them, at the sky, at the wall. Soldiers in breastplates and chain rushed past to join a fight farther along.
4,000 years?
Taln asked again.
Ash, we couldn't continue. We thought...
Ash.
He took her hand again.
What a wonderful thing.
Wonderful.
We left you, Taln. What a gift you gave them. Time to recover for once between desolations. Time to progress. They never had a chance before. But this time, yes, maybe they do. No, Taln, you can't be like this. A wonderful thing indeed, Ash. You can't be like this, Taln. You have to hate me. Hate me, please.
He turned from her, but still held her hand, pulling her after him.
Come. He's waiting.
Who?
She asked.
I don't know.
Teft gasped in the darkness.
Can you see it, Teft? The Spren whispered. Can you feel the words?
I'm broken.
Who isn't? Life breaks us, Teft. Then we fill the cracks with something stronger.
I make myself sick.
Teft, she said, a glowing apparition in the darkness. That's what the words are about.
Oh, Kalek, the shouts, fighting, his friends.
I storm you. Be a man for once in your life.
Teft licked his lips and spoke.
I will protect those I hate. Even if the one I hate most is myself.
Renarin fell to the last level of the city, the Low Ward. He stumbled to a stop there, his hand slipping from Yasna's. Soldiers marched through these streets with eyes like embers.
Yasna, he called. Emaram's soldiers changed sides. They serve Odium now. I saw it in vision.
She ran right toward them.
Yasna!
The first soldier swung his sword at her. Yasna ducked the weapon, then shoved her hand against him, throwing him backward. He crystallized in the air, slamming into the next man, who caught the transformation like a disease. He slammed into another man, knocking him back, as if the full force of Yasna's shove had transferred to him. He crystallized a moment later. Yasna spun, a shard blade forming in her gloved safe hand, her skirt rippling as she sliced through six men in one sweep. The sword vanished as she slapped her hand into the wall of a building behind her, and that wall puffed away into smoke, causing the roof to crash down, blocking the alley between buildings, where other soldiers had been approaching. She swept her hand upward, and air coalesced into stone, forming steps that she took, barely breaking her stride, to climb to the rooftop of the next building. Renarin gaped. That... how?
It will be great, vast, wonderful,
Gliss said from within Renarin's heart.
It will be beautiful, Renarin. Look!
A well blossomed inside of him. Power like he'd never felt before. An awesome, overwhelming strength. Stormlight unending. A source of it so vast he was stunned.
Yasna!
He shouted, then belatedly ran up the steps she'd created, feeling so alive that he wanted to dance. Wouldn't that be a sight? Renarin Kolin, dancing on a rooftop while... He slowed, gaping again as he looked through a gap in the wall and saw a column of light. Rising higher and higher, it stretched toward the clouds.
Fen and her consort backed away from the storm of light. Navani exulted in it. She leaned out far over the side of the wall, laughing like a fool. Glory Spren streamed around her, brushing her hair, flowing toward the already impossible number that coursed around Dalinar in a pillar that stretched hundreds of feet into the air. Then lights sparked to life in a wave across the field, the top of the wall, the street below. Gemstones that had been lying ignored, scattered from the broken bank, drank in stormlight from Dalinar. They lit the ground with 1,000 pinpricks of color.
No,
Odium screamed. He stepped forward.
No, we killed you. We killed you.
Dalinar stood within a pillar of light and spinning glory spren, one hand to each side clutching the realms that made up reality. Forgiven. The pain he'd so recently insisted that he would keep started to fade away on its own.
These words are accepted,
the Stormfather said, sounding stunned.
How? What have you done?
Odium stumbled back.
Kill him! Attack him!
The Parsh woman didn't move, but Amaram lethargically lowered his hand from his face, then stepped forward, summoning his shard blade. Dalinar took his hand from the glowing pillar and held it out.
You can
change, he said. You can become a better person. I did. Journey before destination.
No, Amaram said. No. He'll never forgive me.
The bridge man?
Not him, Amaram tapped his chest. Him. I'm sorry, Dalinar. He raised a familiar shard blade. Dalinar's shard blade, Oathbringer, passed from tyrant to tyrant to tyrant. A portion of light split from Dalinar's column. Amaram swung Oathbringer with a shout, but the light met the shard blade with an explosion of sparks, throwing Amaram backward, as if the strength of shardplate were no more than that of a child. The light resolved into a man with shoulder-length wavy hair, a blue uniform, and a silvery spear in his hand. A second glowing form split off into Shallan Devar. Brilliant red hair streaming behind her, a long thin shard blade with a slight curve forming in her hands. And then, blessedly, Adolin appeared.
Mistress, Windle said. Oh, mistress! For once, Lyft didn't have the will to tell him to shut up. She focused everything on those tendrils creeping up her arms like deep, dark vines. The assassin lay on the ground, staring upward, practically covered in those vines. Lyft held them at bay, teeth gritted, her will against the darkness until... light. Like a sudden detonation, a force of light flashed across the field. Gemstones on the ground flared up, capturing stormlight, and the assassin screamed, drawing in light like glowing mist. The vines shriveled as the sword's thirst was slaked by the stormlight. Lyft fell back on the stone and pried her hands off Zeth's head. I knew I liked you, a voice said in Lyft's mind. The sword? So it was a spren? You almost ate him, Lyft said. You almost starve and ate me. Oh, I wouldn't do that, the voice said. She seemed completely baffled, voice growing slow, like she was drowsy. But maybe I was just really, really hungry. Well, Lyft supposed she couldn't blame someone for that. The assassin climbed unsteadily to his feet. His face was crisscrossed with lines where the vines had been, that somehow left his skin gray in streaks, the color of stone. Lyft's arms bore the same. Huh. Zeth walked toward the glowing column of light, leaving an afterimage behind him. Come, he said.
Elokar, Dalinar thought. But no one else came through the column of light. And he knew somehow that the king was not coming. He closed his eyes and accepted that grief. He had failed the king in many ways. Stand up, he thought, and do better. He opened his eyes and slowly his column of glory spren faded. The power within him withdrew, leaving him exhausted. Fortunately, the field was covered in glittering gemstones, stormlight in plenty.
A direct conduit to the spiritual realm, the Stormfather said. You renew spheres, Dalinar?
We are connected.
I was bonded to men before. This never happened then.
Honor was alive then. We are something different. His remnants, your soul, my will.
Kaladin Stormblast stepped up beside Dalinar before the rubble of the wall, and Shallan Devar stood on the other side. Yasna emerged from the city and surveyed the scene with a critical air while Renarin popped out behind her, then cried out and ran for Adolin. He grabbed his older brother in an embrace, then gasped. Adolin was wounded?
Good lad, Dalinar thought as Renarin immediately set to healing his brother.
Two more people crossed the battlefield. Lyft, he had anticipated. But the assassin? Zeth scooped the silvery sheath off the ground and slammed his black shardblade into it before stepping up to join Dalinar.
Skybreaker, Dalinar thought, counting them off. Edge Dancer? That was seven.
he would have expected three more.
There, the Stormfather said. Behind your niece.
Two more people appeared in the shadow of the wall. A large, powerful man with an impressive physique and a woman with long, dark hair. Their dark skin marked them as Makabaki, perhaps Azish, but their eyes were wrong.
I know them, the Stormfather said, sounding surprised. I know them from long, long ago. Memories of days when I did not fully live. Dalinar, you are in the presence of divinities.
I've grown accustomed to it, Dalinar said, turning back toward the field. Odium had retreated into nothingness, though his fused remained, as did most of the troops, and one strange spren, the one like black smoke. Beyond it, of course, the thrill still encompassed the north side of the landing near the water. Amaram had 10,000 men, and maybe half of those had made it into the city so far. They had wilted before Dalinar's display, but now... Wait. Those two only make 9, he thought to the Stormfather. Something told him there should be one more.
I don't know. Perhaps they haven't been found yet. Regardless, even with the bond, you are just one man. Radiants are not immortal. How do you face this army?
Dalinar, Kaladin said.
Order, sir.
The enemy ranks were recovering. They lifted weapons, eyes glowing deep red. Amaram stirred as well, some 20 feet away. The thrill had Dalinar most worried, however. He knew what it could do. He glanced down at his arm and noticed something. The lightning that had struck him earlier, shredding the Way of Kings, had broken his arm fabrial. The clasp was undone, and Dalinar could see the tiny gemstones Navani had placed to power it.
Sir?
Kaladin asked again.
The enemy is trying to crush this city, Captain, Dalinar said, lowering his arm. We're going to hold it against his forces.
7 Radiants? Yasna said, skeptical. Uncle, that seems a tall order, even if one of us is, apparently, the storming assassin in white.
I serve Dalinar Kholin, Zeth Sunsun Valano whispered.
His face, for some reason, was streaked with gray.
I cannot know truth, so I follow one who does.
Whatever we do, Shallan said, we should do it quickly, before those soldiers...
Renarin! Dalinar barked.
Sir,
Renarin said, scrambling forward.
We need to hold out until troops arrive from Urethiru. Ben doesn't have the numbers to fight alone. Get to the Oath Gate, stop that thunderclast up there from destroying it, and open the portal.
Sir,
Renarin saluted.
Shallan, we don't have an army yet, Dalinar said. Light weave one up for us, and keep these soldiers busy. They're consumed by a bloodlust that I suspect will make them easier to distract. Yasna, the city we're defending happens to have a big storming hole in its wall. Can you hold that hole and stop anyone who tries to get through?
She nodded, thoughtful.
What about me?
Kaladin asked. Dalinar pointed at Amaram, who was climbing to his feet in his shard plate.
He's going to try to kill me for what I do next, and I could use a bodyguard. As I recall, you have a score to settle with the High Lord.
You could say that.
Lift, I believe I already gave you an order. Take the assassin and get me that ruby. Together we hold this city until Renarin returns with troops. Any questions?
Lift said. Could you maybe tell me where to get something to eat?
Dalinar glanced at her. Something to eat?
There should be a supply dump just inside the wall.
Thanks.
Dalinar sighed, then started walking toward the water.
Sir,
Kaladin called.
Where are you going?
The enemy brought a very big stick to this battle, Captain. I'm going to take it away.